Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. This morning we'll begin the trumpet judgments. I was thinking this week, there's parts of the books of Revelation you study, and after you study, you're not just up here, because it's repeated judgment. And you kind of think, oh man. But you know, there's one thing for certain. God loves you and He loves me. And God will win. Okay? God wins. That's how it ends. God wins. Let's stand as we read from the book of Revelation chapter 8. I want to read this entire chapter this morning. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And then another angel was having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. There were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and the third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded. Something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures of the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of waters. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water, because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." Again, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word and for this warning. Father, may this serve as a warning to those who do not know you as their personal Savior. Truly, you are a long-suffering God, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But Lord, we are reminded there is coming a day of judgment, a day when your righteous judgment will prevail. Lord, may it sink down into the hearts of everyone present, and may it light a fire within us who are saved to spread the gospel message to others. And may it touch the hearts of those who are lost, causing them to come to you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Sometimes I think that often we look at this book of Revelation as kind of a fairy tale. Kind of have the idea that, oh, it can't really happen. I want to tell you something, okay? This book is not a fairy tale, okay? This is real. This is real. And it is going to happen. Now, I can't give you the calendar date when it's going to happen, okay? But God has given us this warning. He says, this is coming. And so as you read it, I want to challenge you. You read it knowing that one day these conditions that are described within this book and within chapter 8 are going to be a reality. And today we get to the seventh seal. We've come through six seals and all in that little book we call the title deed that was in Jesus' hand. And He's broken the seal on six seal, and today we get to that seventh seal, the final seal. Jesus, having that title deed, breaks that seventh seal. And you know what happened? There was absolute silence in heaven for the space of a half hour. We've gone from a tremendous worship scene in Revelation chapter 5 where the saints are before the throne who have come through the tribulation period and been martyred for their stand in Christ. And they're crying out in worship, salvation belongs to our God. And the angels and the elders and the creatures in the last part of chapter 7 join them kneeling before the throne, crying out, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power be to Him that sits on the throne. And now Jesus, as He breaks that seal, everything goes from awesome praise to silence. Not a word is dared to be uttered. Have you ever seen something that just left you speechless? That's what happens here. As the seal is broken, the judgment is so severe and just so awesome that they don't know what to say. No one in heaven dare speaks as they get a glimpse of what's coming. In this silence, John sees an angel before the throne, and this angel carries with it a censer. You know, a censer was used to carry coals. It was used to burn incense. And this angel has this censer and incense, and it says, the prayers of the saints. And he releases those incense, those prayers of the saints before God. You know who those prayers are, don't you? Those are the prayers of the saints that have gone through the tribulation period, that have given their lives and died for the cause of Christ. They're the prayers that have cried out for a while now. Lord, where is your justice? Heavenly Father, pour out your judgment on this Christ rejecting mankind. These are the prayers that have come from the countless multitude of these saints that are saved in the tribulation period that we studied a couple of chapters ago. It's their prayers that have flown like a flood from the earth. Oh God, pour out your judgment. Let justice prevail. And now, as Jesus, some people think this angel is Jesus, and personally I'm one of them. Jesus releases these prayers and this incense before the throne. The reason I think it's probably Jesus is because what does Jesus do? He's seated at the right hand of the Father today to make intercession for you and for me. These prayers have been held, if you read there, in the hand, and they are released from the hand of this angel. But, okay, the point is not, is the angel Jesus or not, okay? You can think it is or think it isn't, but that it's really not a point of argument. But I do want you to realize as these prayers are released, the cry for justice and judgment goes up before the Heavenly Father. And you know what? God is called our Heavenly Father for a reason. Because we are His children. Okay? We are His children. And you know how He feels about us? Oh, He loves us. The hairs on our head are numbered. He gave His Son, His only begotten Son, for us. And the thing about a child is When you mess with a child, you don't just mess with that child, do you? When you mess with a child, who do you mess with? You mess with the parents of that child. Right? As I look at beautiful children in our service today, you know, I wouldn't mess with any of them because I know I'd have to contend with the parents, right? I mean, if you mess with my children, oh, the feathers on my back become ruffled really quickly. But I want to tell you what, we're God's children. These saints that have gone through great tribulation were God's children. They've shed their blood for the cause of Christ. They've stood amidst great persecution. And now those prayers are released. And God says, that is enough. They will not harm my children anymore. And He begins to pour out His judgment on this earth in the form of these trumpet judgments. This angel that we talked about that has the censer, takes the censer and fills it with coals, and the censer is thrown to this earth. And followed voices, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Chaos begins to erupt. And now each of these seven angels that we read about take their trumpets and they prepare to blow. You know what a trumpet was, right? Not only a musical instrument, but a trumpet was used in war to give signals, right? As these trumpets blow, I want you to understand you'll never hear these trumpets blow retreat, okay? These trumpets are blowing attack. These trumpets are blowing God's judgment upon a Christ rejecting mankind. And we get to the first trumpet. This first trumpet sounds, and John says he sees hail and fire mingled with blood. And they're thrown to the earth. I've seen hail. And I've seen fire. And I've seen blood. But I've not seen all three of them together. How about you? What a sight that this must be. And I want you to understand from the very beginning, these plagues are literal. Okay? They are literally, this is not a, you read and talk to some people, well, this is all symbolic. No. Okay? When John's trying to give you a symbol, he'll tell you that it's a symbol. But when he says it's blood and it's hail and fire, he means it is what he is seeing is real hail and fire and blood. Okay? So this is a literal judgment that John is talking about. As a matter of fact, if it weren't literal, it'd be like the next trumpet where John's the second angel sounds and a great mountain burning with fire. You see the difference there? There's a difference. Ah, but in this verse, it's just hail, fire, and blood. Very, very real. You say, Brother Doug, where did this blood come from? I know the answer. Are you ready? This is really profound. I'll tell you exactly where the blood comes from. It comes from God. Okay? See, these are God's judgments being poured out upon the earth. And God is doing it in a way so that people can't say, well, that's just a freak of nature, or that just happened to happen and conditions became just so right. God is doing it in a way so that man knows, hey, this is coming from God and you can't deny it. That's pretty awesome the way He's doing it, you know? It defies explanation. And as this judgment is poured out, a third of the trees are burned up and all of the grass. Can it really happen? Oh, you bet. You go back to Exodus chapter 9, verses 18 through 25, when Egypt refused and Pharaoh refused to let God's children go, God sent hail, burning hail upon the land of Egypt. He's done it before. He just adds blood to this one. You see, I want you to think about this. And like I say, a third of the trees are burned up and all of the grass. Can you imagine right here in Russellville, Arkansas? You know, it's getting fall. I love the colors of the trees, don't you? Isn't God awesome in the way He made things? I love to look out at the scenery. Went up to Nebo yesterday with our youth and just had a wonderful time. But there's something about sitting up there in places like that, and you just kind of, if I'm not careful, I sit there and go, you know? It's just the awesome hand of God and what He's done. Can you imagine sitting and viewing the mountains and the valleys, instead of beautiful greens and beautiful fall golds, you're seeing fire, the trees being consumed, the grass being burned to a crisp so that all that's left is just black. You ever seen a field that burns off? It's just black. You don't even want to walk on it. You get the black on you and you get it in your house and in your car. All of the grass will be gone. I'm assured that this is a literal judgment and it will happen here. Okay? We'll see it. Well, if you're a child of God, you get a ringside seat in heaven. Okay? If you go out with the rapture of the church in the beginning of the tribulation, this angel sounds and this judgment is poured out and seems so graphic that surely has to be enough. But no, we're just on the first trumpet. We come to the second trumpet. The second angel sounds his trumpet. And John does use something like a great mountain burning with fire is thrown into the sea. He uses that, okay? John can't describe. He's probably never seen this before. He's not sure what this is. This is a sight that just beyond him, so he has to take something that he can describe. It looks like a mountain that's on fire, and it hits the sea. We can speculate, you know, likely as not, it's a big meteorite burning and it comes through the atmosphere and lands in the sea. I don't know, it may not be. That's speculation. But the result of it, now grab this, is one third of all sea creatures die, and one third of all ships are destroyed. Brother Doug, can this really happen? Read Exodus chapter 7 again, as Pharaoh didn't want to let God's people go. You know what he did? He turned the water into blood. You know what happened here? The water turns into blood. If you read and just think about that. A third of the ocean's becoming blood. That's just nasty, amen? Can we agree on that? That's just nasty, amen? And when you read about it in Exodus, where a third of the water became blood, you also in verse 21 read, "So the fish died and the river stank." Man. Now, I want you to consider and use your imagination here as best you can. But this meteorite or whatever this thing is that falls through space and strikes an ocean, a tsunami wave is first created that's going to just devastate coastal cities. Washing, going in and coming back out and washing debris and dead bodies from those cities back out into the ocean. And then Of course, the water being turned into blood, Brother Doug, is that literal blood? Absolutely, it is 100% literal blood. Okay? The fish are going to die. And they float to the top and begin to rot. And then there's the putrefying odor of blood itself after a few days. And we haven't even gotten to the ships yet. This meteor creates this tidal wave. One-third of the ships are going to be destroyed. Can you imagine the oil spill? When you take all those tankers and turn them upside down in the ocean. Now you've got a mix of human trash, human bodies, and mixed with oil and blood. And just a nasty, nasty mess. Is it really going to happen? You betcha. The third trumpet sounds. And a great star falls, burning like a torch. The name of this star is called Wormwood. Literally, that name Wormwood means bitter or bitterness. Have you ever seen a falling star? Isn't it beautiful? I mean, just... I was working, as you know, an air traffic controller in Little Rock, and one night I was on the midnight shift, and I was sitting there all by myself. And I just happened to look, wasn't talking to any airplanes. You know, I was the only one that was awake. And no, I wasn't napping. I was awake. And I just happened to look out the tower window and I saw a ball of fire streaking just out to the north of the runway. That's what it looked like. And I thought, oh my goodness, who did I forget? And then it hit me that I didn't forget anybody. That was a falling star. And after I realized what it was, I thought, man, what a beautiful sight. This star is not going to be a beautiful sight. You see, most falling stars, as they come through the Earth's atmosphere, they burn up and become harmless. But this star, as it comes through the Earth's atmosphere, will not be totally destroyed. As a matter of fact, the gases, the whatever it is that it contains, the poison that it contains, comes through the atmosphere to the earth and is scattered across a third of the earth so that a third of the fresh water becomes contaminated. That's what it means when it says a third of the water becomes wormwood. I mean, it will poison the fresh water supply of a third of the world. Can you imagine? Currently, 1 billion people in the world do without healthy drinking water. But if you take another third of the drinking water and poison it, how bad is it going to be? Can you imagine? The only option is either be thirsty or drink the poison water and die. You can die of thirst or you can die of the poison water, but you're going to die. What a decision. That'll be the choice. It's getting worse and worse. Then we get to the fourth trumpet. The fourth trumpet, we see the sun and the moon struck. And I don't know how. I don't know if it's ash in the atmosphere. You hear all the different theories, you know, and I don't know. But what I do know, that as the sun, the moon, and the stars are struck, I think it's probably literal. Okay? I think that part of them is going to be gone. Okay? And a third of the day is not going to shine. And a third of the night's not going to shine. And my friends, quite honestly, I can't imagine the chaos by the time we get to this point. And then the angel closes in this in this warning, where he says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." You know what "whoa" means, right? It means disaster, plague. Whoa! The cry goes from this angel because of the three remaining trumpets. One disaster after another has already been seen, and the angel is saying, "But you hadn't seen anything yet." Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's not bad yet, but I'm about to show you bad, what the angel says. I said, "What's all this about? What's the point?" It's a warning. Okay? It is a warning. Now, this isn't something that Brother Doug has made up. Basically, all I've done this morning is just read to you the Scripture. Okay? And talked about it a little bit. But I've not thrown anything in there. I've not made anything up. This is a warning. This time is coming. Like I say, you study this very, very long. And it's like, wow. But here's the thing. If somebody warns me, I hope that I have the good common sense enough to heed their warning. Right? If a big man says, "Doug, I'm going to punch you in the nose," you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to avoid that big fella. Make sense? It does. Well, listen. God has said, "I'm going to judge sin. I'm going to pour out my wrath on this Christ-rejecting earth, where there's going to be suffering, pain, and torment such as mankind has never seen before. Are you ready? Are you ready?" Listen, I'm a child of God. How about you? I know where I'm going. You know, one thing I'm assured of is my salvation. And, you know, we can talk about the rapture. You know, some people think it's at the beginning. Some people think it's at the middle. Some people think it's at the end. But one thing I know that I'm going. Okay? I know I'm going. I think it's going to be at the beginning, by the way. but in either way, I'm ready to go. And that's the point that you need to take to heart today. Are you a child of God? Okay? Are you saved? You're going to spend eternity somewhere. And I wish that I could preach this in a way that make you go away just feeling all good inside. But I'll tell you what. Sometimes you got to get the bad news before you can get the good news. Okay? You've gotten the bad news. The good news is that Christ died for your sins. That Christ gave His life so that you could live forever. That Christ wants to have a personal relationship with you. And that today, just by calling upon Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can be saved. And that place that Jesus is preparing for His children, that place we call heaven, you can experience it. See, that's the good news. Are you a child of God? If not, heed the warning. Listen to what God has given us in the Scripture. Listen. And today, as we have this verse of invitation, cry out to Jesus. You know the wonderful thing about Jesus? He never rejects anyone that calls upon Him for salvation. Never. "Brother Doug, I'm too bad." No, you're not. Okay? You're not so bad. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You've heard the bad news. Now, hear the good news. And if you're not a child of God, call out today. Friends, it is serious. It is serious, okay? Where will you spend eternity? If you don't have the assurance of heaven, this invitation is for you. I'm going to ask you to come. Come and say, Brother Doug, I don't have the assurance of heaven, but I want to. And I'll show you in God's Word. But if you don't want to walk down this aisle, I understand. Everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. Right where you said, I want you to understand that Jesus is listening for your prayer. All God's people right now are praying for those in this service who have never called upon Jesus for salvation, who does not know Him as their personal Savior. Right now, they're praying for you, lost friend. And right now, all you have to do in bowing your head is call out to Jesus, knowing He is the Son of God who gave His life for you, knowing that He rose from the grave and today seated at the right hand of the Father waiting on your prayer. If you call out today, Jesus, save me, knowing He is the Son of God, knowing that He will answer your prayer, He'll save you. Right now, you can pray that prayer of salvation. Or maybe you're just not there yet. Maybe you need some more help. I want to invite you to come forward in this invitation. Whatever your spiritual need is, though, maybe you're already saved and you need to join this church, okay, and serve the Lord here. The Lord's laid that upon your heart. I'm going to invite you to come. Maybe you're here and you need to be a better witness because you know some folks that aren't ready for this. Maybe you need to spend time at this altar rededicating your life. Whatever your need, listen as Jesus lays upon your heart what you should do. Our Father in heaven, oh Lord, we thank You. Thank You for this warning. But Lord, most of all, thank You for the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, thank You for giving Your sons, and thank You that whoever calls upon Him for salvation will be saved. Now, Lord, as we come to this invitation, I pray that each one present will consider the message, consider Your Word, take it to heart, and respond, Lord, as You lead. We pray Your will be done in Jesus' name.